Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 210 of Paranormal Stories. This episode, I'm reading from Lynn McGuinness's book, Overcoming Adversity by Embracing the Higher Truths, One Woman's Journey to Spiritual Awakening. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to read from chapter 1, which is titled The Soul's Blueprint, and this section is called Choosing My Earthly Path. And this is what Lynn has written. Is what happens to us destiny, meaning it is predetermined? Or do we have free will, meaning our circumstances are the result of our choices? When I did my Life Between Lives sessions, I remembered that each soul had absolute free will as to whether or not to incarnate, and as to how challenging the incarnation would be. There are many worlds and dimensions to choose from. Earth is one of the most, if not the most, challenging one, because when we come here, we elect to forget who we truly are and operate under the illusion that we are separate from each other. This causes us to falsely believe that the material world is all there is and to base our decisions on fear rather than on love. While in spirit, I saw that after a soul decides to incarnate on Earth, that soul agrees with other souls that every one of those souls will take on a certain role. The roles include parent and child, husband and wife, close friends or casual relationships. The roles change from life to life. We also choose where we will live and the conditions we are likely to face. Once we are in human form, the amount of free will we have depends upon our chosen circumstances. For instance, if we choose to live in a place where the population is lacking food and/or shelter, the chances are much slimmer that we'll be able to become an affluent business person. When we are children, we have much less free will than we have as adults because we depend on adults for our basic needs. The more advanced souls choose the more difficult lives. Our choices depend upon the lessons we want to learn. We make these choices in unconditional love. They are not forced on us as a means of punishment or retribution. And even when a human being is in the most restrictive environment imaginable, they always have one fundamental choice, love or fear. Many of us, when we are in painful situations, say to ourselves, I would never choose this, this is awful. As souls, however, we make these choices to learn and grow and to bring the wisdom we gain from our experiences back to Source, so that Source may expand in wisdom and unconditional love. To the soul, which is eternal, a human lifetime is so short it is practically immeasurable. That does not equate to the lifetime being unimportant. We are each a fraction of Source. All of creation is. And every life matters more than we could ever know. Moreover, the fact that conditions may be a choice does not mean we should do nothing to try and alleviate human suffering, or that we should remain in abusive relationships or other unhealthy circumstances. We are acting in love when we do what we can to improve outer conditions in a way that makes this world a better place for us all. And we are not acting with self-love if we allow ourselves to be abused. Personally, before I do anything that may affect another person, I go into meditation and ask if I am supposed to take some action, and if so, what that action is. Finally, for those of us who have chosen, at least this time around, incarnations where there is no lack of material things, we constantly have a wide range of options. As I will discuss later, I made many choices that deviated from the journey my soul and my spirit team laid out before I came here. But there are also constant opportunities to decide that it's time to make different choices. The first question I now always ask myself is, am I choosing this out of fear, or am I choosing this out of unconditional love? If unconditional love is not the answer, I make a different choice. Pre-birth planning and purpose. During my life between life sessions, I re-experienced some, but not all of my pre-birth planning for this life. Many who have explored their own pre-birth plans have discovered that they were eager to come to Earth, especially during the times we're in now, to participate in and help with the planet's awakening. My experience was different. I did not want to come back here, at least not at first. My soul wanted to focus on learning unconditional self-love, unconditional love for others, non-judgment, and patience. I also wanted a lifetime where the veil would be lifted. Unconditional self-love was my major goal, because from that, everything else would follow. My challenge with unconditional love began during my first incarnation. I was a female during a time on Earth when we were in pre-human form, ape-like creatures who did not talk but instead grunted and made noises. The males of the species were hunters and gatherers, the females were not. I was partnered with a male who disliked females, believing they should do more to help. One day, when there was no one else around, he repeatedly struck me in the head with a club. I understood that he was doing this because he saw me, a female, as inferior to himself. I died from the blows. After that, I had many lifetimes, more as a male than a female. On at least one occasion, I was a man with some power who let it go to his head. I discuss this more when I detail the past life regression I had in April of 2025. Often, as both a male and female, I let others harm me or take advantage of me because I did not have any sense of self-worth. This was not the case in every lifetime. I took a break every once in a while and chose a more comfortable set of circumstances. I would inevitably go back to trying to learn to love myself. In the life before this one, I was a man who wanted to court a woman, but due to his poor opinion of himself, never approached her. Generally, during life and body selection, I meet with my guide and three of my council members. During 2025 regression sessions, I learn that I have four additional council members who are a little more advanced than the other three. The four are present for life reviews, some life selections, and during crucial points in my life or crisis. When I meet with all seven, the three are in front, while the remaining four are directly behind them. My guide is always there as well. The council member on the front right does most of the communicating. When I was making the decision about this life, I went to a screening room. In that room were large holographic screens showing a number of worlds and dimensions. After I left the screening room, I told my guide and the three council members that I was interested in exploring the possibility of incarnating on another world, because conditions on Earth were deteriorating. I asked to experience what some of these worlds would be like before I made a decision. I either returned to the screening room or went to a different location. I was then allowed to step into some of the images, experiencing firsthand what life would be like on some of the other planets and dimensions. This process made my decision more difficult. I asked if my four other council members could join us so we could figure out what was best. They did. After much back and forth with all seven council members and my guide, we all agreed that Earth offered the best opportunity for learning and growth, so I agreed to incarnate here at least one more time. The next decision was life and body selection. This decision involved three council members who were always present, my guide, and me. There may have been other wise beings there, but I didn't see them during their life between life sessions. I tried to choose a male body, but my council laughed and said, "No boys this time." I could follow their advice or not, but I recognised that as a female I would better learn to express my feelings, to have compassion and unconditional love and love for others, non-judgment, to move away from my habit of using only my thinking mind and staying totally in my ego. After that, the choices were narrowed down to three women. The first was a woman living a simple life by herself in rural England. The second was a married woman living in Barcelona, Spain, who was wealthy and spent most of her time at parties and other social events. And the third was the life I'm living now. My council showed me that the other two women would have happy, uneventful lives, while this one would be replete with difficulties and obstacles. However, it would be the only one where I would learn what I wanted to learn and would grow as a soul. Today I was reading from Lynn McGuinness's book, Overcoming Adversity by Embracing the Higher Truths, One Woman's Journey to Spiritual Awakening. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences is on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.